something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. Being drawn, nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy in the Bunker, right here on a beautiful Saturn's Day. Yeah, it's June the 7th, 2014, and everything's growing like mad around here. I just planted me some strawberries this morning, some tomatoes, and so forth, and wanting to have that reserve food source here coming in. And if you're out there any place where you can plant a small garden, I would suggest it. And get used to, even though you're not lacking vegetables and so forth now, but you need to know how to do it well when the time comes when it's an emergency. Even in the city, you can plant these plants in these planters around, put them on your patio and so forth, and raise quite a bit of food that way. Yeah. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581, as usual. And that's where you send your donations for the radio show and other projects that we're into. And then go up to resist.com if you want a much better than Harvard education, especially on the race issue, on economics, on environment, and everything else we can think of put up there that's good for the white working man. Yeah. And, of course, the white working woman, too. Yeah. Well, yesterday's radio and TV was depressing, and I think most of today, maybe in the next couple of days, will be with this greatest generation bullshit. And it is bullshit. I mean, I had people in my family went over there and fought and thought it was a great thing to go over there and kill or try to kill my ancestors over there in Germany. And I don't think they thought too much about it, you know. I had an uncle come back with several medals on his chest, but he had that thousand-yard stare, I'll tell you that. And he hardly spoke at all until it took quite a bit to get him to talk at all for the rest of his life. You got all these bastards, present-day politicians over there, just having a great time over that damn Second World War. They don't talk much about the First World War because they know, if they know anything, that the Second World War was a direct result of the First World War. So if you didn't like what happened in the Second World War, you shouldn't have been in the First World War. And we surely was no reason whatsoever to be in the First World War. And what makes me sick all the time is they say, "Yeah, we fought the Nazis." No, you fought the Germans. It was the German army, the German military, the will of the German people. I mean, that was the way it was. But you cleverly have turned it around to where you leave a lot of present-day Germans off the hook on that. Like they weren't even around. It was just this small percentage of Germans in the National Socialist Party. They don't even accurately call it what it was, National Socialist Workers' Party. It's the Nazis. Just the Nazis. We fought the Nazis. And for all you Hitler worshippers, I can climb on your ass too. Because before we were even over there bombing, you were bombing countries all over Europe. Then you were bombing England, and I've seen all the horrible fires that were going on in England and so forth. And so both sides were war criminals, as far as I'm concerned. It's never one side that's a war criminal. It's both sides. Because the white working man has no direct need to go into any war or serve any army. Other than his own situation right around where he lives, in maybe the county he lives in or the state maximum. You try to draft me to go out there and fight somebody in another country, I'll tell you to kiss my ass. And I would have done it before. Because there's no sense, no common sense at all in being recruited into an army that's going to be killing people thousands of miles away. and maybe even hundreds of miles away. I think each state should pretty much run its own affairs, and it's none of my business how they run their state. If somebody came and said, Tom, you're a Hoosier here in Indiana, and there's trouble over here in Utah, we want you to go with us and kick their ass. And I'd say, no, that's up to the people in Utah to kick the ass. Not me. I'm going to stay right here watching you guys, and if need be, I'll kick your ass. And like I say, it's called the greatest generation simply because the Jews and their hirelings in the evangelical Christian, in the Christian church, want it to be. That's where it comes from. They're no more the greatest generation than any generation that has come before them that got hoodwinked into going off to war and killing and being killed for something that they don't make any profit at all from, you know. At least in the way back in the old days when they had wars, the soldiers would at least be able to pillage from the enemy and take the goodies home to their house. But now they just pay them slave labor wages to go kill people. I don't understand. If you're going to be a killer, why not be a contract killer for big money? Or, what do you call them? The guys that are paid to go off to war? Mercenaries, that's what you call them. But now, they got entirely big armies of mercenaries. What they call them, Blackmore or whatever it was. They're simply corporate armies, and they do pay them well. And but that I wouldn't want to serve those assholes either. And it's going on and on and on about our heroes, our heroes, our heroes. And boy, I mean, when I went in, I was 18. And I had all kinds of crazy ideas in my head about seeing the world and all that stuff, but I could have just as easily have been thrown into the early stages of the Vietnam situation. And hell, I didn't know shit from Shinola. And once in there, you'd be fighting for your life just to save your life. And so many of these troops don't want to admit that when they come back, which they should get it off their chest. The only thing I did over there is to save my life, man, and maybe help save some of my buddy's life. That's what it was all about. But there's thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, that immediately when this corporate criminal psychopathic system we live under says, oh, we got to go over a nation build. How are we going to do that, sir? Well, we're just going to bomb the shit out of these people and kill them all over the place. And that's what we call nation building. Oh, I'm glad you explained it to me. Here's a little tip for you on forensics. In 2003, a 15-year-old gang member, Jamie Guadalupe Gonzalez, shot and killed a rival gang member, Juan Carlos Cena, on an Anaheim street corner. Gonzalez fled the scene with an accomplice, Ricardo Castaneda, while Cena died at the scene. Over a year later, Gonzalez's mother found the firearm, a .38 caliber handgun, and turned it over to the police. At the time, the experts found that a screwdriver or a similar object was used to scratch the surface of the barrel so severely that ballistics tests done on Gonzalez's weapon were inconclusive. When questioned by the police, Gonzalez did not admit to his role in Cena's death to the police. Surprise, surprise, a Mexican with a brain. In 2009, a fellow gang member told law enforcement about Gonzalez and Castaneda's roles in Cena's death. In 2011, Castaneda was arrested on an outstanding traffic warrant. You see how those traffic warrants and things like that can come back to bite you in the ass? On questioning by the police, Castaneda admitted his role in Cena's shooting and identified Gonzalez as the shooter. Now here's the kicker. A new ballistics test was conducted using Gonzalez's firearm, this time with a 3D printer to account for the damaged barrel on the gun. The test found that the bullet retrieved from Cena's body matched the barrel of Gonzalez's weapon. There you go. So now, just scratching the hell out of serial numbers and barrels and all that kind of stuff is no safety if you're contemplating being a bad man. Remember that. And that's from direct from Doom Goddess back there in the eastern part of this old country. Thank you, Doom Goddess. Of course, a little spick coming from a knife culture could have just as easily walked up on a street corner, stuck a 6 or 8 inch blade in a carotid artery on his friend there, and then pedaled his bicycle down to the river someplace and tossed the blade in the water, and that'd have been the end of it. But these guys think they always have to have guns, and in fact, guns is probably the worst choice if you think you want to get away with it. Well, I see a Florida man who fired more than 50 rounds at police officers and now is charged with 10 counts of attempted murder, had neo-Nazi literature, in other words, white racial literature, and a stockpile of firearms, there you go, and ammunition in his home, authorities said. That's why, as D.C. Wolf has told you, don't keep this NS literature around your house, and flags and things like that, and don't keep a stockpile of firearms. It can only fire one or two at a time anyhow. Florida police unveiled neo-Nazi paraphernalia owned by Dustin Heathman. So you see, the police are more interested in defaming this guy by showing neo-Nazi literature even before talking about the guns. Let's see here. He's a Florida resident facing 10 counts of attempted murder and having neo-Nazi literature after a gunfight with a Marion County SWAT team on Sunday. The Ocala Star Banner newspaper reported on Tuesday. According to the report, Marion County Sheriff Chris Blair revealed a helmet bearing a swastika along with a large stockpile of automatic weapons. I doubt whether they were automatics. While the Southern Poverty Law Center, here we go, the Southern Millionaires Law Center Hate Watch blog claimed that Heathman, 35, was also found in possession of neo-Nazi literature. Oh, wow. Well, that's the end of that. That's the end of him. The suspect was taken into custody Sunday after firing more than 50 live rounds at a SWAT team. Well, what do you expect him to fire, blanks? Answering a police call from Heathman's family members who said he had stolen from them and was heavily armed, said Ocala report. You see there, being snitched out by your own family. That's who done him in. No officers were injured during the encounter. As SWAT officers approached the home on Sunday, a woman inside took off running and Heathman opened fire, hitting a SWAT vehicle several times. WESCH or WESH TV in Orlando, that's a big Jew area, reported Heathman then turned his automatic weapon towards other SWAT officers who were approaching the home, according to the news report. During an exchange of gunfire, Heathman was hit with glass fragments, but his injuries weren't life-threatening, authorities said. After making anti-government statements and suggesting he wanted to die, he was booked into Marion County Jail. Well, you had a gun. You could have shot yourself, I guess. But anyhow, there you go. I question whether he had automatic weapons. Maybe he did have automatic. Most people don't know the difference between a semi-automatic and an automatic. So, most of the evidence going to be used against him is Nazi literature. Yeah. And if he did have automatic weapons, that's an automatic conviction right there. So, bye-bye. You'll be in jail the rest of your life, man. Because you're a neo-Nazi, not because you're a mad gunman shooting at SWAT teams. I may joke around about this kind of stuff a little bit, but it's a bad situation because here's a, you know, good-looking white man that bought into some of the right-wing crap and the movies and how every neo-Nazi's got to have a basement full of weapons and a house full of flags, you see. And when you buy into that, I think it's the Jew Hollywood movies, even beyond the right wing. But the right wing foster it. Because I remember distinctly that was a big thing when I was in the right wing. You had to have a flag, man, a Klan flag, Nazi flag, some kind of flag on your wall, all that kind of crap, and have all the books. Well, I have to have a pretty big library here, but I probably have as many anti-books as pro-books, because in doing research, you need to do that. And if you do have a library like that in your house, and you don't want to get rid of some of the National Socialist stuff, well, just put a whole bunch of Jew books. Go down to the used bookstore and pick up a bunch of Jew books and Hebrew books and all that kind of stuff, and pepper them all through your library. Well, this is the outcome of a case up in Canada where National Alliance was supposed to inherit, I guess, about $250,000 in goodies. Well, I knew what would happen. I didn't have any doubt in my mind what would happen, that they would conspire up there in Canada between the courts and some shirt-tail relation to get it thrown out. In fact, I talked to Eric Gleeby here, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago he called, and I said, you're not going to get that. You might as well forget it. Okay, a court ruling that prevents the National Alliance from inheriting the estate of a New Brunswick man was lauded Friday by a Canadian Jewish organization that had intervened in the unusual case. Well, there's a good reason not to like Jews. I mean, this man had the goodies, and he wanted the National Alliance to have it. And they should have, of course, under any kind of normal law, should have gotten it. But that just shows you the power of the kikes behind the scenes and in the courts, and why you can't fight them the way a lot of people think they can fight them. Now, of course, that man should have been, if National Alliance had any advance notice before he died of his intentions, he should have been encouraged to break that money and any of those goodies up and just have somebody come up from the States and put them in a suitcase or FedEx them down and get them out of the country. And they could have got all that money out of Canada and into the United States and into the hands of the National Alliance. And that's not really the fault of the National Alliance if they didn't know about it, because a lot of older people don't seem to understand that they may want somebody to get something. I know in the past I've lost a few things from well-meaning people that wanted to help us out. That either somebody grabbed their will and changed it, or they, some people in the family got involved, and so we didn't get anything. So anyhow, this is a common occurrence, and that's why people who have something they want to put it in their will or whatever, it's best to parcel it out before they die. I mean, than to wait for the courts to be involved in controlling that money, because you're going to end up with that money going into the pockets of the Jews if you don't. And, of course, Canada and Australia now have become really somewhat pretty much fascist in their outlook, or red, or whatever you want to call it. This president or premier of Canada is the biggest anti-environmentalist around, and so Canada is nothing like it once was. Neither is Australia. quote, "This was a strong statement indicating that it is against Canadian public policy to bequeath money to organizations that spread hate." Well, your government spreads hate. Our government spreads hate. Spread hatred of the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, all these people in the Middle East. It just depends on what kind of hatred you're talking about, I guess. This was quoted from Israel Jewish Affairs Chairman David Kachowski. On Thursday, a judge voided the will of the late Henry Robert McCorkle, who had left his possessions to the National Alliance. I never knew of National Alliance being very violent. West Virginia-based neo-Nazi group. You see, there's neo-Nazi, you know. Either they're National Socialists or they're Republican or something else, but nobody is really a neo-Nazi. Linked to assassinations and bombings. I like that. That's a typical Jew thing. They were linked to assassinations and bombings. Well, if they were really linked, why weren't they ever arrested? One of our wolves sent this in and said, "If you want someone to have something, give it to them before you die. Don't hope that your wishes will be fulfilled afterwards." Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. But people are funny about money, I'll tell you that. They are funny. That's why I'm not funny. I don't have any. Evidently, this man was connected, maybe a member of National Alliance. National Alliance should have, of course, stressed on all these older people that make sure, absolutely sure, or even beforehand, to get whatever funds you want to give us to us beforehand, in cash, if possible. Of course, probably a whole lot of that money was wasted anyhow that they did receive, so I guess it doesn't make that much difference. Well, isn't our government wonderful? A bunch of psychopathic creeps. The federal government on Friday began sending hundreds of unaccompanied mestizo children caught crossing the border illegally in Texas to a holding center in Nogales, Arizona, further straining relations with Governor Jan Brewer, who was already angry over the recent release of hundreds of undocumented illegal families at bus stations in Phoenix and Tucson. Brewer said she learned Friday that 432 mestizo children were transported to a holding facility in Nogales, and an additional 732 children would be brought there Saturday and Sunday. Now, can you imagine how much this is going to cost the taxpayers? Even if they loved Mexicans, how much it's going to cost the taxpayers? Quote, "I am disturbed and outraged that President Obama's administration continues to implement this dangerous and inhumane policy," Brewer said in a written statement. Well, that is a little strange because Obama has seen fit to deport over 2 million mestizos, illegal mestizos. Sort of strange. Brewer's spokesman, Andrew Wilder, told the Associated Press that conditions at the holding facility in Nogales are so dire that the state is releasing federal medical and other supplies to the facility. Open your pocket up there, Whitey, Arizona Whitey. Get the money out. The mestizos need the money. And, of course, you wouldn't do anything like ship them back because these are little kids. And little kids, you have to feel special about them, even though they're going to push your kids out of the schools and sooner or later out of the jobs and everything else. Well, that's okay because it's the Christian thing to do, right? Okay. How many times have I told you, you don't have to do much. Just antagonize the system, in a way that does not injure yourself, because it's not hard to do, because there's going to be natural uprisings of people, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Here's a deputy kills a Georgia man, and he attacks the courthouse. Authorities killed a man Friday whom they say shot a sheriff's deputy in the leg outside the Forsyth County Courthouse. You see, that's that county where whites marched in the streets to keep the blacks out of Forsyth County, which was one of the last vestiges of a safe area to move your family. It says here the man, a gun trader by the name of Dennis Ronald Marks, 48, drove up on the sidewalk in front of the courthouse at about 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, threw spike strips and explosives out of his car window to keep the officers from reaching him, then began shooting through the windshield of his SUV with an assault rifle, Forsyth County Sheriff Dwayne Piper said. Deputies returned fire, shooting Marks multiple times. Now, just think of what it takes to get a normal, average guy to this point. So frustrated, so absolutely fed up, that it's going to explode. Boy, I'll tell you. Hey, tick, 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 tick. And see, what they'll do is make heroes out of the system cops. When the deputy engaged him outside, it saved lives, Piper said. Well, what about the conditions that moved this guy towards this kind of activity? Why? What's going on here? The entire situation was solved by that deputy's actions. No, that particular situation may be solved, but there's hundreds more, maybe thousands out there waiting to happen. Authorities later identified the officer as James Rush, 46, of Cummings, Georgia. He's been a Forsyth County deputy since February 1990 and is expected to make a full recovery. Probably a veteran coming back from Afghanistan and put in the sheriff's department. Yeah, there you go. That's the way it's going, and it's, you know, worse is better. I'm sorry. Nothing I can do to stop guys like this. And really, not too much I can do to start them, because the conditions are coming down to where individuals are just exploding. And I guess that's why they want to get all this equipment from the military into the hands of the local cops, because they know there's going to be a certain amount of citizens in their community that are going to say, I'm mad as hell, I ain't going to take it anymore. Bam, 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 take that, bam, bam, bam. Right? Sure. Well, an internal military investigation found that Army Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl, remember him? Intentionally sneaked away from his forward operating base in Afghanistan just before he disappeared in 2009. I think they all should walk off the base and disappear. And that may not have been the first time he left post without permission, according to officials familiar with probe. Well, what GI has never left his post without permission? I remember I left my post several times without permission. Quote, we have no indication that he intended to leave permanently, unquote, one government official familiar with the investigation told the Military Times. However, the official noted that the investigation did not have potentially critical input from Sergeant Bergdahl himself. In other words, everybody's talking about Bergdahl and talking about his family, but he hasn't been talking. So they're really doing a number on his parents up there in, Washington State or Idaho or wherever. Yeah, it shows you how phony these people are. They're going to have a big welcome home for him, and then they got a rumor that he was willingly with the Taliban, and, you know, and all the politicians ran for cover. You know, what a bunch of bullshit. Well, here it goes back to the point, you shouldn't go over there in the first place. I don't want to argue about what he did when he's there. I want to argue about he shouldn't have been there in the first place, because it made him a co-conspirator with the military-industrial complex criminal establishment. So when you join up with the military, now to occupy other countries, you're already an unindicted criminal, as far as it should be in the world court at least. But they always want to argue about after the fact, not the idea that the whole thing's a big goddamn mess. Well, up there in North Dakota, I think it's seven couples filed a federal lawsuit Friday challenging the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage in North Dakota. They probably all live in Leith, making it the last state in the country to be sued by couples seeking the right to marry in their home state. I'll bet they're all from Leith, North Dakota. That's why Craig Cobb got in so much trouble. He wouldn't marry a guy. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court in Fargo, out there where the Cowboys are, challenges both North Dakota's constitutional ban on gay marriage and its refusal to recognize marriages of same-sex couples who legally wed in other states. That means cases are currently pending in all the 31 states with homosexual marriage bans. Judges have overturned several of these bans since the U.S. Supreme Court struck down part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act last year. You see, don't you understand why this is sweeping the world? The ruling class decides on something, or they get a burr under their saddle by some group, and then they start pushing something, and they'll push it to the ultimate end. They'll push it all the way. I mean, I don't care whether it's marrying your dog or marrying your pet bird or what. If they get excited about it and the ruling class gets involved, they're going to do it. I say, simply say, the state shouldn't be involved in marriage at all. Yeah, why have all this fighting and money spent and taxes? Just say, fuck it. Anybody can marry anybody or anything. Why not? What would the government do then? If the government has no control or does not have something to control, they're not happy. And the more you get the government out of things, the better. So say, hell, I don't care who gets married. I don't think I'd be too comfortable with you in my house, but I'm sure not going to get excited about it, because if it takes the power away from the state, that's pretty good. Yeah. And, of course, the biggest people pushing, of course, is Defense of Marriage Act. That's a bunch of bullshit put out by the Republican Party. Rather than solve the big problems that we've got in the country, environmental and so forth, they came up with this Defense of Marriage Act. They do that kind of crap all the time, and they're such hypocrites. They're such hypocrites. Oh boy, now they want to dig into the corporations that operated in Germany and the factories. Yeah, well, most of us have known all about that for a long time. As the world marks the 70th anniversary of D-Day this week, with films, TV, and radio broadcasts, and dozens of new books, especially published for the occasion, you might think that by now we'd know everything there is to know about World War II. Check out any library. Well, one thing we don't know about is all the bad things American troops did to the local populations in these countries and against the German military guys in the field, including cutting their hands off, cutting their fingers off to get rings and so forth. They don't want to talk about that. Check out any library or bookstore and the amount of shelf space dedicated to the 12 years of Hitler's Third Reich often exceeds that of any other period in history by far, of course, to keep your attention away from the other criminals, the other so-called criminals. Yet even today, one facet of this period continues to be shrouded in obscurity and still yields new secrets. It is the role and complicity of companies in the atrocities committed by the Germans. Just last month, two German historians published detailed accounts of how the forerunner of the automaker Audi AG and Auto Union AG, used concentration camp inmates and dragooned labor at its factories in eastern Germany produce tanks and aircraft engines. Well, what about the prison businesses in the United States right now? There are thousands of slave labor working for corporations inside the prisons, probably making less than these guys did. About 3,700 inmates of makeshift concentration camps set up special for the company by the SS worked as slave laborers in Zwickau and Chemnitz alongside 16,500 others who were forcibly conscripted. Do you mean right to work? Is that right to work? Yeah, that's probably what they had over the prison camp gates. Welcome to Right to Work. Moreover, 18,000 inmates of the Flossenbürg concentration camp were put to work to build a massive underground factory for producing tank engines. An estimated 4,500 of those workers died in the process. Well, I keep telling you, Hitler turned it into national capitalism, to the chagrin of my Hollywood Nazi friends. It failed to stop being National Socialism about the time at the Night of the Long Knives, or maybe a little earlier. So if you want real National Socialism, you got to go back to the Strasser brothers and what the people of the party were promoting. And it wasn't this deal that, like Hitler made with Krupp and Thyssen to get rid of his brown shirts and have his own special guard, the SS, and all that stuff. From then on, it was national capitalism. So, of course, capitalists always act this way. They love slave labor. They don't care where it's at. But like I say, how many thousands and thousands of inmates that probably got there in this country by smoking or transporting pot are now slave labor to this... I forget the name of it, Alcor or something. Anyhow, it's the prison. In fact, the fastest growing investment corporations in the country are prison labor. Prison labor. Now, here they're talking about these dirty Germans, man. They had inmates working in the factories. While there have been reports in the past about auto unions' use of slave labor, oh my God, the new details went far beyond previous estimates. The historian's study was financed by Audi itself. Germans love to expiate their guilt, don't they? Imagine that. Angela Merkel's over there at D-Day, standing there beside that nigger Obama. I wonder what was going through their minds, really. Quote, "We think we need to be completely open about our past," said Audi. Yeah, and the other corporations will forgive them, too, because corporations are all about money. They don't give a shit. The automaker is altering a permanent exhibition about its history, housed next to its headquarters in Ingolstadt. And DeGrave says Audi intends to make the instructional use of the material to teach young employees about dangers of nationalism and extremism. So if somebody now comes along and tries to get a union going to get them more money, they're going to say, see, that's extremism. That's a Nazism there. Oh, yeah. They were always thinking these things over. Now let me run this past you. If Germany had won the war and had continued to control and influence a sort of the United States of Europe, sort of like the EU, and even the in the Russian, in Russia. What do you think the corporations over here would have said about that? They would have beat their brains out getting to the door to make deals. Yeah, Mr. German corporation leader, national socialist, national capitalist. We want to make a deal with you, man. We want to make a deal with you. No, they would have never criticized anything. They'd have been up to the neck in going along with the national capitalists in Germany. Nobody asked that question, though. Shut up, Metzger. You asked too... You're saying a lot of stuff that's going to get us in a pile of shit. Well, let's look at the other side of the coin. Right now, slave labor all over the world, and in many states in the Union and the prisons. You probably don't know who makes your clothes. The scary thing is the retailer that sold them to you may not know either. A year-long study of factories in Bangladesh by New York University's Center for Business and Human Rights. Remember what I told you, get rid of that term rights. It's meaningless. There's only privileges. You either have privileges or you don't by the ruling class. Anyhow, found that many retailers can't be sure which factories make the products they sell. All right, can you believe that shit? Often, immaculate shops are half a world away. That's because manufacturers sometimes farm out work to local factories and aren't registered with the trade associations or the local government that operates away from the eyes of regulators, the study found. In other words, it's not just a little few companies in Germany now, it's the entire world. But if we can keep our eyes on ancient Germany back in the 30s and 40s, if we can keep people's attention on that, they won't be interested in this because they all want to get cheap clothes anyhow. So, God bless Walmart and the baby Jesus. That means many retailers are just as in the dark as shoppers about whether a piece of clothing was stitched together by workers earning rock-bottom wages in some of the world's most decrepit, ramshackle factories. You're wrong. They don't care. Not that they don't know. They don't care. I don't want to know about it. I just want the suit, man. I want it for $39.95. I don't give a shit. Or whether it was made with child labor. We don't care. Just don't show us that shit. Don't talk. Don't tell us about it. Or it's workers sewed under sickening working conditions. No, we don't care. In fact, we want to get rid of unions here in the United States, too. We don't want any... No trade unions at all, none of that stuff. Or if there are cracks in the factory's walls that could trigger a catastrophe like the collapse of the Rana Plaza factory complex in Bangladesh, which killed more than 1,100 people last April. I didn't see any D-Day type gatherings about that. I didn't see all these asshole politicians standing around wringing their hands about the 1,100 people in Bangladesh. Don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. Quote, we're hiding. The owner of a tiny unregistered factory in Bangladesh, the world's second largest exporter of ready-made garments, told investigators. Those customers won't like my factory because it's in a tin shed. and they're digging up bones of... The German nation of the 30s and 40s. Give me a goddamn break. You know, this country has got to be the most hypocritical nation that's ever been. I can't think of any nation that could be more hypocritical than the population of the United States, white or not. And, of course, the whites are the most hypocritical. And even the whites that turn around and say they love the non-whites more than they love the whites. I mean, it's just the whole country. The whole country is based on lies. And that's why this guy, evidently, over in Afghanistan, walked off into the deal. He got so sick and tired of it. The hypocrisy is all around you every day, you know, to the point where you just feel like walking off. I'm thinking of walking off here. I don't know which way to walk. I'll probably walk into a worse situation. So I'll stay in my bunker here, way down deep in the ground, where I can put my periscope up and turn it around and look around and say, ooh, whoa, wow. I can see all those golfers that are about half a mile away from me. All those fat cats over there chasing that little ball around and going in and getting drunk inside. Yeah. But they got nice clothes from Bangladesh. The last thing they're worried about is those child labor in Bangladesh. But we're good Christians and we love the baby Jesus. Yeah. Well, the Republican Party's going nuts again. Sorry. Well, anyhow, here's the Texas Republican Party's new platform may endorse psychological treatment that seeks to turn homo people straight. Bunch of Jew psychiatrists are going to use. Yet a move partly aimed at rebuking laws in California and New Jersey that ban reparative therapy, also known as conversion therapy, for minors. A push to include the new religion platform survived a key vote late Thursday in Fort Worth at the Texas Republican Convention, while across the street, Tea Party star Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, fired up attendees at the rally to defend marriage as between a man and a woman. Nobody was over there demonstrating about bringing the jobs back to the country and putting high tariffs on this stuff coming in the country, or how about the fracking corporations, the fucking cracking corporations, punching holes all over the place and polluting the landscape and the tar sand coming down and the big oil tankers sinking and the Gulf oil spill. And no, we ain't worried about that. We're worried about this. We got to get this homo and get his mind right. That's the main thing we got to do now, get this homo and get his mind right. Well, I see the North Koreans have arrested another whacked out Christian. You see, these churches send these twerps all over the world, and then they get in trouble, and then we're expected to bail them out. And many times, these are Asian people that have come to this country and gotten their $10,000 and a citizenship, and then they, I guess, learn Christianity here and go nuts and go around the world. So they go up there with these whacked out North Koreans and they do something wrong and they arrest them. American citizen, that doesn't mean much anymore. American citizen, you could be. Jeffrey Edward Fowle ran aground with the Fowle, entered the DPRK, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, as a tourist. With his CIA papers sewn into his coat on April 29th and acted in violation of the DPRK law, KCNA reported. No other details were provided. In April, North Korea said it had detained 24-year-old American Miller Matthew Todd for improper behavior while he was being processed to enter the country as a tourist. The brief report said he had chose the North as a shelter. Oh. Well, these guys are probably preaching Christianity in a non-Christian country, and they don't like it. So, keep them over there. Get their mind right. Get some psychiatrists working on them there, Hing Fong Yong. Well, an heir's long quest for the return of two 16th century paintings stolen from her father-in-law by German Reichsmarshal Hermann Göring does not conflict with federal policy, the Ninth Circuit ruled on Friday. And probably those Jews that are involved stole it from some Aryan family before it. You know, nobody talks about that, how much of this artwork and so forth was actually rescued from the Jews when the Germans were in power there in the 30s and 40s and given over to either high-ranking National Socialists or to the people who really owned them. Now the Jews want them back. They want their stolen merchandise back. You think you got a problem? How about these guys? This couple said they wanted to go to Grenada. The airline said Grenada, all the British Airways allegedly blundered by sending them to the Caribbean instead of Spain. A D.C. couple can at least fight the airlines in their preferred court. Now, if you want a little more insanity, I'm going to give it to you. This is in Cincinnati. An Ohio judge who undoubtedly failed to meet the minimum expectations for members of the judiciary still has immunity from claims that he cost a lawyer his job, the Sixth Circuit ruled. Robert Bright found himself on the bad side of Galea County Judge David Dean Evans on July 11th while representing a defendant for the Galea County Criminal Defense Corporation. One of Bright's clients refused to plead the plea deal and then thought better of it mere seconds after the initial refusal, but the judge Evans refused to let the client take the deal. No, we're not going to play games, the judge said before ordering the trial to be scheduled. When Judge Evans denied Bright's request to accept the plea in the chambers, the attorney filed a motion to accept plea in which he criticized what he called the judge's blanket policy of drop-dead date concerning plea agreements. Bright called the policy as abusive and discretion because the Judge Evans' positions and attitude. He's unreasonable and arbitrary and unconscionable. Well, anyhow, there was also a lawyer and a judge got in a big fist fight, too. Let me see if I can find that. Now, when I talk about insanity, it's obvious that most of the country is insane. I mean, you've got people out there who believe that dead people can rise from the grave. They believe that. They also believe that Noah rescued 75-ton dinosaurs on his ark. The biggest one's about 75 tons. The next one was about 50 tons. And so they believe that Noah took two of everything, put them on that ark. Now, that's just normal insanity. We can handle that. We just have a drink and look the other way. But the leaders of the country are criminally insane, psychopathic, criminally insane. And that's the problem, the big problem. We can sort of stumble on with the insanity of the general public, just like we put up with wayward animals, you know. But anyhow, but the criminally insane need to be dealt with. I mean, you know, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Nurse Cratchit. People like that need to be dealt with. Let me see if I can find this clip for you.
In Georgia, a defense attorney gave a judge, a judge a bunch of shit, and Judge John Murphy and veteran public defender Andrew Weinstock actually got into an argument where the judge said, "Why don't we go outside and settle this? I'll beat your ass."
In his chambers outside?
Yep.
Wow.
No. Well, no. And then you hear them. They leave the building and they're screaming and yelling. I sent it to you, and they're... Now, the Florida judge is accused now of punching the defense attorney when they got out into the hallway. They take this outside, and he hit him in the head when they went back outside. He challenged him to go into a back hallway where there were no cameras and to fight him. Man.
Florida.
You have it?
Yeah.
There we go. Let's listen.
A courtroom argument between a judge and a public defender turned into a hallway brawl.
If you want to fight, let's go out back and I'll just beat your ass.
The attorney says the judge grabbed him and started throwing punches as soon as they stepped out of the courtroom.
Yeah. Tonight, he says he doesn't want to press charges. Eyewitness News at 10's Renee Stoll is live in Brevard County tonight. Renee, even if no one is arrested or charged here, some kind of complaint will have to be filed.
Well, because part of this unfolded in a courtroom here. Ooh. Someone is required under the Florida bar to report this incident, which will likely go in front of the Supreme Court, where both the judge and the public defender could be in trouble. What started out with a testy exchange over how to proceed in a case in Judge John Murphy's courtroom.
What do you want? I'm not waiting. You want to set up your trial? Set up your trial.
Turned into an all-out brawl between a judge and a public defender behind closed doors, yet loud enough to be heard on courtroom cameras. It all started when attorney Andrew Weinstock told his boss he felt pressured by Judge Murphy to waive his client's right to a speedy trial in an assault case.
This is an emergency.
If I had a rock, I would throw it at you right now.
The judge
is pissing me off. Just sit down. I'll take care of it.
I love Florida.
I don't need your help.
No, you know what? I'm the public defender. I have a right to be here, and I have a right to stand and represent my clients.
I said
sit down.
If you want to fight, let's go out back, and I'll just beat your ass.
The attorney thought that the judge wanted to talk to him, so the attorney followed the judge out of the courtroom.
No talking happened, according to Weinstock.
The attorney said that immediately upon entering the hallway, he was grabbed by the collar and began to be struck.
Put him in that room. Donald Sterling attended a black church. You see, he's calling himself Donald Sterling, but when all this broke, his real name, David Tokolowitsky, or whatever his name is, that's what's in my head, David Tokolowitz. So to me, he's an old, you know, Jewish guy who's pretending he's a Christian or whatever. And he goes to the church, and I think he sang and everything at the church. And did the minister, Christina, welcome him to the from the pulpit? Did
he say, I'm not sure. I got to look it up.
I think so. Garrett, I believe I sent you some audio from a news report. But here's the problem. They didn't know what to do. Because there's the choir, and there's the minister, and I think he called up and said, I'm coming, you know, to worship or whatever. And even though my ancestors have been accused of killing your Savior, not that it's been verified, but if you see the Mel Gibson film, the Romans are stabbing Jesus, and the rabbis are very close by on Camelback, looking up there. You know, it's quite an indictment. So Donald Sterling worshipped among mostly black Christians. Do we have the news report by any chance?
He has made few public appearances since his recorded racist statements went public. But today he made quite an appearance at a predominantly black church. KCAL9's Adriana Weingold spoke to church leaders and members.
Adriana Weingold, get her over there.
Well, Juan, of all places for the embattled billionaire to spend a Sunday morning, he chose a church in South Los Angeles, a church with a predominantly African-American congregation. Now, some members of that church were understandably a little wary of his presence. With the choir singing, Donald Sterling walked into the Praises of Zion Baptist Church in South LA. Senior pastor Dr. J. Benjamin Hardwick welcomed Sterling publicly during the service.
Stand up, Brother Sterling. We're going to give you a round of applause.
But the pastor of 58 years told us off camera that he did not invite the embattled Clippers owner to attend church. Rather, he says Sterling approached him.
He didn't invite Sterling. We did not call Sterling as members of Praises.
Right.
You know, Sterling came to us, asked our pastor, we took a vote on it.
Mookie is a member of the choir and was at the service Sterling attended. She says the church has hundreds of members and they decided as a group to let Sterling in.
We're not forgetting what he said, but as children of God, we are forgiving.
Other parishioners had mixed feelings about having someone in their church who had made such openly racist comments.
I didn't particularly like what he, but you know, I know we all sometimes speak before we think.
We love all of God's children, regardless of your race, creed, or color.
Yeah.
And I want my friend to know we're praying for you.
David Tokolowitz.
Sterling got to pose for photos and answer a few questions before leaving the predominantly African-American congregation service.
Beautiful. I love this.
And again, the pastor at that church and some members of the church say that they did not invite Sterling to the church, that he approached them. We are live in downtown Los Angeles. Adriana Weingold, KCAL 9 News.
All right. Hold it a second. Garrett, you and I are sitting around. All right. He's at the black church. Get someone that can really do this story. Adriana Weingold. Hurry up. Get her. So you have a former Jewish racist old fart whose name was Tokolowitz. Now he's Sterling. And they send Adriana Weingold to the Praises of Zion Church in San Pedro, California. You know what? If you sat around all day, South Park couldn't think of characters like this. Unbelievable.
It's like a Bennington ad all in one
news
report.
I was thinking, you know, I said this last week. We had a black guy called up, and he was talking, and I said, let me ask you a question. Every beer commercial I see, there are three white guys, and there'll be a black guy with them. And it's, you know, every beer commercial, every, you know, restaurant commercial. You know, there'll be a black family and a white family, and that's very nice. And maybe one day that'll be the truth, but I don't feel as though it's the truth now. The other night I was watching them talk about new sitcoms that are coming out, and even shows on HBO like Silicon Valley and all. And Christina, you made mention of this. There in your office, and when you guys are hanging out there in the bullpen, you know, in the office, do you have at least one Asian and at least one Indian-type person that is a part of the group that you hang with in the office?
It has to be Asian or Indian?
Yeah, that's what the sitcoms have. They either have an Asian or an Indian. Yeah, either one is in this TV shows. Garrett?
I mean, we do have one Farsi-speaking person that hangs out occasionally.
Right.
Oh, really?
Well, boys and girls, this is the last of the week. I take a break tomorrow to try to get my head straight because, as you can hear, it's all insane. And the worst patients, the psychopath, the criminally insane, are running this show. I'm out of here. 14-5, but don't talk to anybody.
These scientific eggheads have committed a mortal sin. They want to start cloning people now. I've seen it on CNN. They can't cure the common cold or arthritis of the bones. But somehow they found the time somewhere to build my f***ing clone. So I'm officially asking these idiots now to leave my clone alone. 'Cause we damn sure don't need another me. And the losers I owe money to will wholeheartedly agree. 4 or 5 Britney Spears is now something I might pay to see. But just put me in with the Hitlers and the Manson family. 'Cause we damn sure don't need another me. Shown any clone to have to live my life, I'd probably find some clone of mine recloning with my wife. So when they want to build another me, I think I'll have to pass. 'Cause I'd hate to be the jerk in jail for whooping my own ass. Yeah, we damn sure don't need another. One we got's one check away from the penitentiary. Now a gang of Raquel Welch's was a teenage fantasy. But just put me in with the Mouse A Tongues and the Partridge Family. 'Cause we damn sure don't need another me. We damn sure don't need another me.